Good morning. Today's Daf and Tzvachim is Yud Zayin. We are in Tzayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots on in Pasul. We started yesterday the second parak of Tzvachim. We had the good fortune of introducing ourselves to the topic of those people who, when trying to do the Avodah, so the Avodah is Mechulal. Mishnah Torah is back on Tzvav Amud Beis, beginning of the second parak, that if as long as Kabbalah Zadam is done by somebody who is not a Kohen in good standing. I'll explain what that means better in just a second. So if you're not a Kohen in good standing, so you are going to be Mechal the Avodah, which means obviously, let's go step one. Step one, obviously you can't do the Avodah. But step number two is that moreover than that, if you do the Avodah has now become Mechulah, it's become profaned, you've disqualified the Kabbarnas that you work with, and new Kabbarnas are going to be necessary. So the who is not in good standing, and so the Mishnah tells us that if Kabbalah Zadam is done by a non-Kohen, a Zar, number two is an Onen. As we already discussed yesterday, but it's fair to review, and it's going to be a good part of today's discussion anyway, an Onen is any Kohen who is in a state of having lost one of his Zayin Krovim, one of his seven relatives, and for the day, for the Yom HaMisa, so he's in the status of being an Onen. As such, so he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can't do the Avoda, and he certainly cannot eat from any of the Karbanos. That period of Aninos will end, for sure, according to everybody, tomorrow, even if there's no Kfura tomorrow, meaning in terms of the Halachas of Kfura, there's still going to be an Onen, but vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash and Kachim, Aninos is only for one day. The night after the Yom HaMisa, I pointed out, we're going to be discussing that later in the Masecht, in terms of what is the status of the night afterwards. Tful Yom, anybody who is Tameh, who needs a Tahara, is going to Tovel in the Mikvah and wait until Erev Shemesh and wait until nightfall. So in other words, generally speaking, in order to relieve yourself of your Tumah, you need Tefillah B'Mikvah and you need Erev Shemesh. It's a two-step process. The time period between Toveling in the Mikvah and nightfall is what's called in Halacha Tvul Yom. So a Kohen who is a Tvul Yom may not do the Avodah, and on top of that, Avodah is Mechulal. And then Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim in the Mishnah is somebody who has to go through one more step in the process of Tahara. Let's say, for example, a Zav or a Mitzora, where in those cases, in the Tahara process, it is a 7 days Tahara process, where then on the seventh day you tovel on the Mikvah, then you experience Erev Shemesh, but it's not over yet. You have to then, on the eighth day in Yom HaShmini, you have to then bring a set of Karbanos, then and only then are you properly Tahor, and you can enter into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah. And later this morning, we're actually going to ask a simple question. If we know that a Mechusar Kippurim cannot do the Avodah, a Tful Yom, which is a step earlier, for sure should not be able to do the Avodah. And stay tuned, because we're going to ask that question a little bit later this morning. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss other people who are, other Kohanim, I should say, who are ineligible to do the Avodah. I'll just review them quickly, but they are not part of today's discussion. But still, just to review, Kohen is not wearing the proper begadim, a Kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet in the morning, a Kohen who is not circumcised, a Kohen who is in a state of tumah, which again, we're going to ask the question later on, kind of knew that already. If a Tvul Yom can't do the Avodah, and a Mechusar Kippurim can't do the Avodah, for sure somebody who is tumah can't do the Avodah as well. So we'll ask that question a little bit later on. Yoshev, a Kohen is in the sitting position, Omer Agabe Kelem, Agabe Behema, Agabe Ragle Chavero, someone not standing on the floor of the Azara, but rather standing on either a Kli, or an animal, or on somebody else's foot, in all this case is Pasul. Kiba B'Smol, and the only thing that is subject to a Machlokas in the Mishnah, is what if the Kohen did the Kabbalah Sadam, but did so with his left hand, not with his right hand, according to the Tanakham, it's Pasul, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's Kasher, and that's the Mishnah that we went over. Now if you turn to Tezayin Amud Beis, where we left off yesterday, the two dots, Onen Pasul. The first bit of today's daf, really yesterday's, is going to be a little bit tricky. It's gonna be a little bit complicated. I'll introduce it very simply, and then we'll hopefully not get lost in the Kal Vachomers. But the introduction is very simple. Look, and we know already. We just reviewed the Mishnah. We know that under most circumstances, not most, under these circumstances that we just outlined in the Mishnah, a Kohen can't do the Avodah. But even under these circumstances, there are heterim, there are two notable heterim. One is that even by an Onen, so a Kohen cannot do the Avodah when he's an Onen, but a Kohen Gadol can. And we talked about this yesterday. In other words, so a Kohen Gadol in the state of Aninus is allowed to do the Avodah. Still can't eat the Karban, but is allowed to do the Avodah. So there is a heter when it comes to Onen. And even by Tumah, there's a heter as well, and we're all familiar, Tumah, Hutcher, B'tzibur. Then when it comes to Tumah, if you have a majority of the Jewish people who are in a state of Tumah, so then you're allowed to bring a carbon, some carbonos, in a state of Tumah. So, we have all the rules, and we have two notable exceptions. One notable exception is an onin by Kohen Gadol, and another notable exception is Tumah as it relates to Tzibur. Now, even within these exceptions, we're not 100% sure. Let's say an onin by Kohen Gadol. Good. So he's a Kohen Gadol now, and even though he's an onin, he has a heter in order to do the avoda. And as an onin who has his heter, he can do what exactly? Offer a carbon yachid, offer a carbon tzibur, meaning what does that heter allow him to do? Unclear. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Okay, now the majority of the Jewish people are tamei. So now, which carbonos can be brought? Again, not perfectly clear. So what we're going to be doing now for just this half of Amud, meaning from the two dots until the bottom, really to the very top of Yitzayin Amud Aleph, is that with Kavachomers, we're going to try to argue what the Heterim allow us to do. What the Heter of an Onin for a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do, and what the Heter of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur is allowing Kohanim to do. That is going to be our attempt of discovery in the next half of Amud of Gemara. Let's begin. Onin pasul, Amar Rava. Lo shana lo b'karbon yachid. So when we say that an onin is pasul, that's only in relationship to a karbon yachid. Aval b'karbon tzibur meratze. But when it comes to karbon tzibur, so a kohen, meaning a kohen hedjot, can offer a karbon tzibur. How do you arrive at this conclusion? Kavachomer mitumah. So he says, well, let's derive a kavachomer based on tumah. Ma tumah shelo hutra mechlala, etzel kohen gadol. The carbon yachid. Now, when it comes to tumah hutra, meaning again, as I mentioned in the introduction, there are two heterim. One is an onin by Kohen Gadol, and the other is tumah hutra b'tzibur. Now, when it comes to tumah hutra b'tzibur, shelo hutra b'chlala itzel Kohen Gadol b'karbon yachid. Now, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to bring an individual carbon, even if the majority of the Jewish people are tumah. In other words, there's still no allowance for him to bring an individual carbon. So hutra itzel hedjo b'karbon tzibur. However, when it comes to Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, so the heter now goes not only to Kohen Gadol, but the heter goes to every Kohen, even a Kohen Hedjot. And a Kohen Hedjot, and any Kohen Hedjot is allowed to bring a carbon tzibur. So in other words, a starting point for the argument is Tumah. We have this concept of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. So it doesn't allow a Kohen Gadol to bring a carbon yachid, but what it does allow, however, is every Kohen to bring every kind of carbon tzibur. Now, Aninus, where the heter of Aninus allows a Kohen Gadol to bring an individual carbon. Now, how do we know that? And the answer is really simple. We don't. Right now, we're assuming that. Okay, so, and that becomes a problem of this Kavachomer, but I shouldn't have said that. I should have just went along with the Kavachomer, and then afterwards we could poke holes in it. But anyway, so, the Anina Shehutra Mechalai Itzel Kohen Gadol, the Karbon Yachid. Now when it comes to an Onein again, the Heter by Onein is that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah even while he's in the state of Aninus. And the Gemara now is assuming that a Kohen Gadol can bring any carbon while he's in the state of Aninus. Einu Din Shehutra Itzel Kohen Hedjot B'Karbon Tzibur. So therefore wouldn't stand to argue that when a Kohen Hedjot is in a state of being an Onein. So granted, he can't bring an individual carbon, but isn't he allowed to bring a carbon tzibur in a state of aninus based on this kavachomer? So again, so what we have now is at least an attempt to make an argument that even though we know that an onin cannot do the avoda, a kohen hedjot who's an onin who cannot do the avoda, but what Rava would like to do is make a kavachomer, allowing a kohen hedjot to bring a carbon tzibur. And look, he says, and once again, I'm just going to review the argument one more time. We know that when it comes to aninus, so a Kohen Gadol cannot bring, I started wrong. When it comes to Tumah, so when it comes to Tumah, where we say Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, so when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol is prohibited from bringing a carbon yachid, even though the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, but a Hedjot is allowed to bring a carbon tzibur. So now, Aninus Shehutra Mechalai Itzel Kohen Gadol B'Karbon Yachid. When it comes to aninus, where the starting point is that a kohen gadol is allowed to bring a carbon yachid when he's in the state of aninus. So now, eino din shehushra eso kohen hedjeb a carbon sibor. Shouldn't that allow an individual kohen to bring a carbon sibor when even though he's an onen? So here we have the kal v'chomer, and the Gemara now is going to poke many holes at this kal v'chomer. Maskav lo Rava bar Eli lo tutar anino seitzel kohen gadol bekarbin yachid mikal v'chomer. Look, you made one assumption. You assume that when a kohen gadol is an onein, not only can he bring public carbon sibor, but he can also bring his own private carbon. So the first assumption that we're going to poke a hole in is, how do you know that? Maybe when the kohen gadol is an onein, so yes, there's a heter for him to bring a carbon, but only a carbon sibor, not a carbon yachid. And let's argue this point. And again, the starting point now will be tuma. When it comes to tuma, we know that a kohen hedjo is allowed to bring a carbon sibor. But meanwhile, a kohen gadol cannot bring an individual carbon. Anino shelo hutra etzel kohen hedjo b'carbon sibor. So when it comes to aninos, where there is no allowance for a regular carbon, for a regular kohen to bring a carbon sibor, eino din shelo tutra etzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid. So therefore, we can make the argument that a kohen gadol should not bring an individual carbon. So therefore, in other words, so hole number one that we're poking is that you, in your original kal v'chomer, you said, you know, when a kohen gadol is an onen, he could bring a carbon yachid. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe a kohen gadol is allowance to bring while he's an onen is only for a carbon sibor, not for a carbon yachid. Hole number two that we're going to poke. V'tuta tuma itzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid. Meaning, tuma hutra b'tzibor. Allowing kohanim to bring a carbon. Well, what kind of carbon? So we said a carbon sibor. Maybe the Gemara says a kohen gadol can bring even a carbon yachid in a state of tuma. And mikal v'chomer. And the Gemara says then, we can derive it from a kal v'chomer. Ma'an nina shel hutar itzel kohen hedjo. B'carbon sibor hutra itzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid. Look, by an onen, a regular kohen cannot bring any carbon. Not a carbon yachid, not a carbon sibor. And meanwhile, a kohen gadol can bring every carbon, meaning a carbon sibor and a carbon yachid. Tomo shel hutra itzel kohen hedjo. B'carbon sibor. Eino din shel hutra itzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid. So we see that the heter of the kohen gadol is stronger. So if Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor allows a regular kohen to bring a carbon sibor, so the kohen gadol's heter, who is quote-unquote a stronger heter, should allow him to bring even a carbon yachid when he's in a state of tumah. Okay, so that is another possibility, and again, that goes against one of Rabba's assumptions as well. And the Gemara says, and I'll poke a third hole in all this. V'lotuto tumah itzel kohen hedjot b'carbon sibor mikal v'chomer. And maybe we can even make an argument that even when we say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, that doesn't allow a Kohen Hedjer to bring anything. Not a carbon yachid, not even a carbon tzibor. How are we going to arrive at this conclusion? Oman, nina shehutra eitzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid, v'lo hutra eitzel kohen hedjo b'carbon tzibor. Look, when we talk about aninus, so again, what is the kohen gadol allowed to offer? Anything. What is the kohen hedjer allowed to bring? Nothing. So Tumah shelo hutra eitzel kohen gadol b'carbon yachid, enu din shelo tuta b'kohen hedjo b'carbon tzibor. So if Tuma, which does not allow the Kohen Gadol to bring, which only allows them to bring a carbon sibor, but not a carbon yachid. So now I move it down to the Kohen Hedjot, who's got a weaker heter, so maybe for Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, maybe he could bring nothing. Not carbon yachid, not even carbon sibor as well. So, all we have done so far is, we know their heterim, and we're just trying to figure out, at what point, who is allowed to exercise what heter? Meaning, a kohen gadol is allowed to offer in the state of aninus. Is that include carbon sibor and carbon yachid? Is it just carbon sibor? We know tumah hutra b'tzibor. Tumah hutra b'tzibor allows what? A kohen gadol to offer, a kohen hedjer to offer, a kohen gadol to offer both sibor and yachid, a kohen heter, a kohen hedjer to offer maybe sibor but not yachid, maybe neither. So in other words, basically what we have right now is through a series of kal v'chomer arguments, we could really argue in a number of different directions. And then the Gemara on the very bottom gives a mnemonic. Admittedly, it's strange, by the way. Normally the mnemonic comes before, not after. Okay. Observed. We're now on the top of Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Ela ikal amifra chachi v'ikal amifra chachi. So the Gemara says, so now that we have arguments really extending in either direction, so here's what we're going to do. Leave everything in place, meaning status quo. Okay, that's wonderful. What does that mean? Leave everything in place, status quo. So, take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the top of the Amud, on Yizayin Amud Aleph, Yesh Ladun, V'yesh Lachlif, V'lo Nada Eza Nidrash. So we can make a chavachom in this direction, we can go in that direction, and we don't know which way to go. Hilkach. Kochad teka beduchte, kechsi veistam. So basically, every time we're going to read the pasuk in the Torah, and every time we're going to read the heter, we'll just read the simplicity of the heter. Rashi goes on to explain. Kishahutra, ninus kohen gadol stam. Because look, we know that in the Torah, for a kohen gadol, he can do the avod in a state of aninus. And now we're going to say it like that. A kohen gadol can do the avoda in a state of aninus. And Rashi says, bein biyachid bein b'tzibur, hutra. So that means that the kohen gadol can do any avoda while he's an onin. He can do a public karban, he can do a private karban. Uchish nesra lehedjo bein biyachid bein b'tzibur, nesra. And when we say that a kohen hedjo cannot do the avoda when he's an onin, we mean nothing. He can't do a karban yachid, he can't do a karban tzibur. Uchish hutra toma b'tzibur, Hutra afla kohen hedjot. And so when there's a condition of tumah hutra b'tzibur, the majority of the Jewish people are tumah, allowing the avoda to be done, and we say tumah hutra b'tzibur, we mean all kohanim can do the avoda, both the kohen gadol and a kohen hedjot. Uchish nesra b'karban, yachin nesra afla kohen gadol. And that's only for public karbanos. But when it comes to private karbanos, even as we say tumah hutra b'tzibur, that's only for karban tzibur, but not for karban yachin. And who can't do a karban yachid? Nobody can do a karban yachid. Not a kohen gadol, not a kohen hedjot. So, summarizing the sugya is really easy. We have kavachomers that can go in either direction. How do we understand the heterim of a kohen gadol doing the avod in the state of aninus? How do we understand the iser of a kohen hedjot in the state of aninus? How do we understand tumah hutra b'tzibur? And the answer is very simple, meaning because the arguments can go in either direction. So therefore, we read the Psukim Kistam. Good. Tul Yom, we are in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We're starting now the next topic of the discussion of the Gemara, and that is of the Tul Yom. As I already explained in the beginning of today's shir, and I'm sure we've gone over this a couple of times before, so a Tul Yom is somebody who experienced the Tumah, who toveled in the mikveh during the day, had Harav, and is waiting for Harav Shemesh. Such a Kohen may not do the Avoda. And furthermore, than just may not do the avoda is mechula. So the Mishnah goes on. I'm sorry, the Gemara goes on to explain. Minalan, how do I know this? Tanya, Rabbi Simai Omer, Remes Utzvul Yom, Shim Avad Chila. Where is there an allusion to the Torah? The word Remes over here is a unusual usage of the word Remes, because Remes usually indicates that it's not a din min haTorah, but there's an allusion located in the Torah. Right, I'll give you an example. The Gemara when discussing Bikur Cholim. So Bikur Cholim is never articulated in the Torah. I know we think that Akash Baruch Hu told us about Bikur Cholim as you visit Avraham Avinu, which, by the way, may be true. But it's not a formal mitzvah in the Torah. It's not actually recorded in the Torah as you should go visit the sick. Meaning, yes, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of emulating Akash Baruch Hu, but there's no formal mitzvah per se. And the Gemara asks in Adarim, like late Lamed, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, thereabouts. The Gemara asks in Adarim, Rem is the Bikur Cholim in Atar Minayin. Like, where is there an allusion to Bikur Cholim? Meaning, it's not explicitly mentioned. So over here, just acknowledging that the word Rem is over here is a strange usage, but still. So Rem is the Tvul Yom Shim Avad Chilal. How do I know that if a Tvul Yom were to do the Avoda, such a Avoda is Mechulal, meaning it's not, has no... It's not good at all. It's not kosher. So Tamalomer Kedoshim Yiyu V'lo Yichalalu. So we open up to the beginning of this week's parsha here in Chutz Laaretz. So the pasuk says Kedoshim Yiyu V'lo Yichalalu. Meino Inyan L'Tamei Denafik Mevi Yinazru. Now it's not talking about someone who's mamish tamei, because we already established, that's yesterday's daf, that somebody who's tamei cannot do the avoda, and furthermore the avoda is already mechulal from the pasuk of Yinazru, as we mentioned in yesterday's daf. Also this week's parsha. Taneo inyan l'tvul yom. So this pasuk is coming to teach us an extra level, an extra measure of psul, of chilul, and that is that even though he's not bona fide tamei, meaning he already started the tahara process, already tovel the mikvah, but because he's still waiting for Harav Shemesh, so therefore such a kohen cannot do the avoda, and furthermore, avoda is mechula. Because he toveled in the mikvah. And furthermore, as we're gonna go over shortly, Somebody who's a Tevil Yom already is allowed to start doing things that a Tamei person can't do. Notably, eat Maaser Sheni. A Tevil Yom is allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, a Tamei person eats Maaser Sheni, so that's an Isser. So, and the Tevil Yom is allowed to do it. So already now he's starting to do Tahor activities. That's why I need an extra pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Teneo enyan le Tevil Yom, ema teneo enyan le koreach karcha ulamashchis pazikan." So the Gemara says, "Well, actually, take a look at the pesukim. Meaning, it's this week's parsha. So not only do I encourage you to do so, but Shabbos you'll for sure do so. Today you will do so, and then davening. So you'll look at the pesukim and you'll see that the context of the Torah over there is talking specifically about the Kohen who makes a bald spot on his head, or mashchit pazakan, or cuts off his sideburns, right? Rounds off his head. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is an Isser for everybody. The Torah indicates it as an Isser for both Kohanim and for non-Kohanim. Why does the Torah mention it separately for a Kohen? So the Gemara discussed that elsewhere. But in the meantime, however, if you look contextually over there in the Torah, when the Torah says lo yichalalu, it's talking about the Kohen who put a bald spot on his head or cut off the corners of his head. So the Gemara says Tevil Yom. Sorry, the in Korech Karchel Mashchitz Pazikan Tevil Yom Dim Avad Bemisa Menalan. So the Gemara Chilachil Mitruma. So the Gemara says, well, Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know this. Because if I have a Tevil Yom doing the Avodah, so what is he subject to? Meaning, what level of punishment is he open to? So he's open to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And we learn it out from Chilochil from Truma. Meaning, if a Tevil Yom were to eat Truma, he'd be subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Now, Danny, this doesn't go against what we said earlier. Meaning, a Tevil Yom is allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. Truma's on a higher level of Kedusha. A Tevil Yom is not allowed to eat Truma. Once you have a Harav Shemesh, then and only then you're allowed to eat Truma. So, a Tevil Yom is forbidden from eating Truma, and if he eats Truma, he'll be chayv to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. Similarly, a Tevil Yom cannot do the Avodah. If he does so, he'll be subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So, the Pasuk B'Truma Machal Avodah, lo Pasuk B'Truma lo Machal Avodah. So the Gemara says, so fine. So in other words, if you are disqualified from eating Truma, so therefore the Avodah is Mechula. And if you're not Pasuk from eating Truma, so then the Avodah is not Mechula. And what the Gemara seems to be indicating is that, look, even though, yes, it's prohibited for a Kohen to make a bald spot on his head and to round out the corners of his head, that's true. But is he now going to be prohibited from eating Truma? Sounds like from the Gemara, no. The answer is no. And, well, certainly he'll say this. In other words, there's certainly there's no Misa if he eats Truma. And so, and meanwhile, a Tevil Yom who eats Truma is subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, so since you see the level of sensitivity we have towards a Tevil Yom, that he's not allowed, the Kohen Tevil Yom is not allowed to eat Truma, and if he does so, he'll be subject to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So therefore, it stands to reason that for such an individual, if he does the Avodah is Mechula. Amar Rabba. Lamali Dekasav Rechman Atame V'Tevil Yom Mechusi Kippur. Okay, and here the Gemara now asks the question, which I foreshadowed a little bit earlier. Look, the Torah seems to be a little bit redundant. Meaning, a Tamei can't do the Avodah, a Tamei Kohen can't do the Avodah, a Tevil Yom Kohen can't do the Avodah, and Mechusa Kippurim Kohen cannot do the Avodah. Is there a need for the Torah to outline and illustrate all three of those? Seemingly not. Meaning, when you're Mechusa Kippurim, so what have you already done? You've already been Tamei, you already toveled in the mikvah, you already had Harav Shemesh, and still you can't do the Avodah. Like, shouldn't that already tell us that a Tevil Yom can't do the Avodah? And for sure, somebody who's Tamei can't do the Avodah. And why the need, the necessity of the Torah to repeat itself on these three occasions? Dikas Rechman Atame Shekem Mitamei. So the Torah says, well, let's start off with Tamei. Meaning, if the Torah would have written just by somebody who's Tamei, Shekem Mitamei. Well, then you totally understand. Meaning, not only is he Tamei, but he also has the ability to transmit his Tumah to somebody else. So for such an individual, then, he is going to be disqualified from doing the Avodah. And if he does the Avodah itself is going to be Mechula. B'Tevil Yom Mechusa Kippurim Lo Asim Minei. Shekein Pasul B'Truma. So, and as far as Shekein mitameh. B'tfulyam mechusik kippurim la'asim inei. Now, as far as tfulyam is concerned, we can't learn mechusik kippurim from tfulyam, shekein pasal b'tshuma. Look, and if I had just tfulyam, I can't learn that mechusik kippurim from tfulyam, and I'll tell you why. Because the tfulyam is not allowed to eat truma. Mechusik kippurim is allowed to eat truma. Meaning, after a kohen experiences both tefillah b'mikvah and erev shemesh, that means he's no longer a tefillah yom, even if he's still yet a mechusik kippurim, meaning the next day he's got to bring karbanos, from the period of erev shemesh, he is allowed to eat truma. So, but a tefillah yom is not allowed to eat truma. So basically, we have a tefillah yom not allowed to eat truma, a mechusik kippurim is allowed to eat truma. I can't learn mechusik kippurim from a tefillah yom. So, but mechusik kippurim, tefillah yom la'asim minei shekei mechusik maisa. So the Gemara says, and finally, when it comes to mechusik kippurim, so why can't we learn that from tefillah yom? So the Gemara says, because shekei mechusik maisa. Because when it comes to a tefillah yom, what does he need to do in order to solve his tuma dilemma? And the answer is very simple. Nothing. He doesn't need to do anything other than wait. Waiting is a passive activity. Masha'en came when it comes to Mechusa Kippurim. Mechusa Kippurim on the eighth day, it's not just simply the eighth day comes and okay, now he's no longer Mechusa Kippurim. He's got to actively bring the karbanos. So in other words, there's a very serious difference between just passively waiting until his status is going to come to an end versus needing to do something actively in order for the status to end. So even if I knew already that a Mechusa Kippurim is not allowed to do the Avoda, but I wouldn't extend that to a Tefillah Yom, because I'll just simply say, look, a Tefillah Yom, all he needs to do in order to resolve his issue is just simply wait. That's not a big deal. Masha'enkin, when a Mechusa Kippurim, he needs to do an action. Okay, so, what we now have argued is that I cannot learn out one from the other. From Tum, I can't learn out because the Tum is Metame. From Tefillah Yom, I can't learn out because the Tefillah Yom is not allowed to eat Truma, Mechusa Kippurim is. And even from Mechusa Kippurim, I cannot learn out because he needs to do an action as opposed to a Tefillah Yom who does not need to do an action. Fine. Mechada lo asi teisachada mitarte. So the Gemara says, fine, but why not do the following? I can't learn out from one from the other, but maybe the Torah could have written two of the three, and I would have learned the third. And yeah, in other words, right, what the Gemara is looking right now is to save itself one pasuk, but this is standard operating procedure of the Gemara, where if the Torah could have said it in two drushas, so then why three? So the Gemara says, lo asi teisachad mitarsi b'hai lo lichtav, rechmana. So the Gemara says, okay, so which one didn't need to be written, and which of the two could have taught us the third? So lo lichtav b'mechusik kippurim b'taisi mehanach. So the Gemara says, well, how about the Torah telling me that a Tameh can't do the Avoda, and a Tefillah Yom can't do the Avoda, and let's have Mechusa Kippurim be derived from those two. Malahanach shekein psulim b'truma. So the Gemara says, okay, but a Tameh can't eat Truma, and a Tefillah Yom can't eat Truma, and a Mechusa Kippurim could eat Truma, so that's not going to work out. So the Gemara says, okay, let's not have the Torah write it by Tefillah Yom, and let's learn it from Tameh and Mechusa Kippurim, one and three. So the Gemara says, my parafta. So the Gemara says, and what? And for a Tameh, he has to do an action. He has to tov on the mikvah. And for Mechusa Kippurim, he has to do an action. He has to bring karbanos. And how am I going to learn now Tefillah Yom? Because the Tefillah Yom doesn't have to do anything. The Gemara says, I don't love that argument. Because when all is said and done, sof, klisha la tum asan, still the tumma of Tefillah Yom is lighter than that of somebody who's Tameh. So if somebody who is, and the Mechusa Kippurim is even lighter than that. And so if the Mechusa Kippurim can't do the Avoda, certainly a Tefillah Yom can't do the Avoda as well. And yes, I admit, by the way, that the Gemara seems to have accepted an argument just a couple lines earlier and pretty much rejected the argument over here. Earlier, the Gemara says, why can't I learn out Tefillah Yom from Mechusa Kippurim? So the Gemara says, because Mechusa Kippurim needs to do an action, and a Tefillah Yom does need to do an action. And the Gemara over here kind of dismisses that argument. The Gemara says, yeah, I know a tummy needs to do an action. And I know Mechusa Kippurim needs to do an action. And I know a Tvil Yom doesn't need to do an action, but sof, but when all said and done, Klisha Latumasan. The Tuma of Mechusa Kippurim is lighter than that of a Tvil Yom, and therefore, if a Mechusa Kippurim can't do the Avoda, neither can a Tvil Yom as well. And I know that the Gemara just kind of dismissed the argument that the Gemara accepted earlier. I'm just acknowledging that. I don't have a way of resolving it, but yes, that's just true. So the Gemara says, okay, so where do we stand right now? The Gemara is in the middle of asking the question. Let's learn out that a Kohen cannot do the Avodah, neither when he's a Tamei, or a Tvil Yom, or a Mechusa Kippurim, and the only thing that we're trying to discover is why does the Torah need a Pasuk by all three? Give it to me in two places, and we'll learn out the third. Give it to me in Tamei and in Mechusa Kippurim, and we'll learn out Tvil Yom from there. Answers the Gemara. Kasavar. Mechusa Kippurim dezav, kezav damei, or Mechusa Kippurim dezav, kezav damei. I'm sorry. Just stop at line number one. On Yuzayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, because Rav is of the opinion that a Mechusa Kippurim of a zav is treated like a zav. And let me explain this a little bit better with the help of Rashi. And Rashi, by the way, points out that we could have said Mitzorah as well. It would have been the same halakha. Okay. Follow me down this path. Let's say a person is a Zav or a Mitzorah. Again, these are serious Tumas. They are, by the way, just parenthetically, they both share the common feature of that the Tumah is self-generated, meaning it's not the Tumah that they received from an outside source, but it was internally generated. The Zav, because he had an emission, he had a discharge, and the Mitzorah, because he's got spots on his skin. So anyway, so the Tumah is self-generated, but in both of these cases, in order for them to go through the Tahara process, again, 7-day Tahara process, after they are, so to say, cured from the source of Tumah, then on day 7, they're Tovah in the Mikvah. That night, they will have experienced Erev Shemesh. The next day, on the 8th day, they're going to bring their Kabbanos, and all is good. Okay. Here's now what the Gemara is arguing. Again, the question is, if I have Tvil Yom and I have Mechusa Kippurim, isn't that excessive? Because Mechusa Kippurim is lighter. What the Gemara now is going to answer is that Mechusa Kippurim is not lighter. And I'll tell you why it's not lighter. Because even if you are Mechusa Kippurim, vis-a-vis Karbanos, you are considered a Zav. Your degree, your level of Zav has not tailed off at all. Vis-a-vis other halachas like Truma, for example, you can eat Truma. But vis-a-vis Kachim, you are still considered a full-fledged Zav. Look at Rashi, where Rashi makes this point very clear. Mechusa Kippurim dezav kezav hu adin lamesorah, ela chamina yonakat. Mechusa Kippurim dezav kezav dami le'inyin Kachim. Shelo huter etzlo, hava le'ki'ilu lo tavo. Vis-a-vis Karbanos, even though you've gone through the mikvah procedure, Harif Shemesh procedure, as long as you have not yet brought your Karbanos on day 8, as far as Karbanos is concerned, you are a full-fledged Zav. Listen to Rashi. Kilo lo tavo ve'imach lo chayev kares. One says Rashi. If such an individual would eat Karban, as long as he's still a Mechusa Kippurim, subject to the kares penalty, as if he was a bona fide Zav. Two, and by the way, just consider how strange this is. Meaning, he's in a position right now in life where he can eat Truma, if he were a Kohen, but meanwhile, if he were to eat Karban, he'd be Chayv Karis. Okay. It's really remarkable. Two, says Rashi, Im Naga Bahu, so Taman Limnos Ban Rishon Vesheni. We know that when it comes to Tuma, so in other words, it depending on what your level of Tuma is, you then will communicate that level of Tuma over to the item that you touch, where it drops off a degree, and with every transmission, it drops off another degree. Right? Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i. When such an individual touches carbon, he is still considered an avatuma. Again, consider. He already told them in the mikvah. He already had Harif Shemesh. So in other words, you would say, he should have dropped off levels of tuma. Vis-a-vis carbon, he has not dropped off a level of tuma. The first carbon he touches is a rishon. Then the next contact of that carbon to another carbon, sheni, etc., etc. So in other words, vis-a-vis carbon, he's still the Av HaTumah of being a Zav. So what the Gemara now is arguing is, you can't learn out Mechutz Kippurim from Tevul Yom, or I should say better, you can't learn out Tevul Yom from Mechutz Kippurim, because what we wanted to argue, Mechutz Kippurim is lighter, it's not lighter. Vis-a-vis Karbanos, and Mechutz Kippurim is considered a bona fide Zav. Okay. And the Gemara now points out, Right, and there's no klisha. In other words, it doesn't diminish at all. So the Gemara says, and this issue of umechusik kibrom dezav kizav dami tanai, the Gemara points out that this is not so straightforward. Not everybody agrees with this. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa reads, sarfa onain umechusik kipurim ksheira. If let's say the paraduma was burnt, but it was burnt not by a perfectly fit kohen. Well, let's say the kohen is either an onin, or the kohen is a mechusik kippurim. Now remember, regarding the paraduma, it's always going to be a little bit complicated, because the paraduma is not a karbon, right? The Gemara earlier called it kachi bedek abayis, meaning it falls under the category of not karbon, not kedusha seguf, it's kachi bedek abayis. So do I need an absolutely fit kohen? So it always becomes a bit of a debate and a discussion. If I have either an onin or a mechusik kippurim doing the strefa, kshera. Such a strefa would be kasher. Yosef, abav le'omer, onin kshera, mechusik kippurim psula. And Yosef, Habavli, right? The strange name of Atana, but Yosef Habavli says that if an onin were to do it, it would be kasher. But if a mechusik kippurim would burn the paraduma, that would be pasul. And what is at issue over here? My law, b'hakamiflik, imar sav, mechutz kippurim dezav, kezav dami, imar sav, lav kezav dami. And ostensibly, what is that issue over here is as follows. Meaning, we are, of the two kohanim that we're discussing, when it comes to the onin, we're not debating. An onin can burn the paraduma. And again, because it's not a carbon, in other words, it's kashya b'edek abayis. So that's fine. But vis-a-vis mechutz kippurim, Tanakhama says he can do it. Yosef Bavli says he can't do it. What's the difference between their two positions? Presumably, what's at issue over here is how to understand the Mechusa Kippurim of a Zav. Is he going to be treated like a Zav Gamor, Lagabe Karban? And I know it's not a Karban, but if you're going to treat him like a bona fide Zav, Lagabe Karban, so then you could take the position over here that he can't burn the Paraduma. Or no, maybe, in other words, as a Mechusik Kippurim, he has tailed off in terms of his Tumah to the point where he's almost Tahor. He just needs to go through the process of Mechusik Kippurim. But in other words, the fact that he only has residual Tumah and not original Tumas Zav, so therefore that would allow him to burn the Paraduma. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Lo, Dekulei Amakah Zav Dami, the Gemara says, no, we can make the argument that no, maybe vis-a-vis Kachim, he's like a bona fide Zav. The Gemara says over here, maybe the issue over here is just a totally different issue, totally separate from his status of being a Zav. Meaning the Torah says, V'izah tahor. Michlal shu tameh. Limin al tvul yom shekasher bepara. So we know that a tvul yom is allowed to burn the paraduma. Marsa v'tuma d'chola Torah kula, marsa v'tuma d'ach parsha. Now, when we say a tvul yom, we mean tvul yom of what? Tvul yom of kola Torah kula, or Tvul Yom of that particular parsha. That particular parsha is talking about what type of Tumah? Tumas Meis. Meaning that's Parshas Chukas. That's the beginning of Parshas Chukas. That's talking about Tumas Meis. So we know there's an allowance for a Tvul Yom to burn the Paraduma, but the Tvul Yom of what Tumah was he recovering from? Is it any Tumah or just the Tumah of Tumas Meis? Hilka Chonin Tvul Yom de Tamisheritz Tekile Asa Bekavachomer Mitvul Yom de Meis. So now, if we say that a tvul yom of a mace is allowed to burn the paraduma, so a sheretz for sure would be allowed to, because certainly lighter than the tvul yom of a mace, of a mechusik kippurim dezav, dechamer shekein tumah yotzei alav biguf alav. However, I wouldn't necessarily conclude that a tvul yom of a zav is allowed to burn the paraduma. Meaning, because if it's only limited to tvul yom of a mace, I would say, look, tvul yom of a mace, how did he receive that tumah? Yeah. Externally. Tvul Yom of Azav, how does he receive his Tumah? Self-generated, internally. So the Gemara therefore concludes that if the allowance of a Tvul Yom to burn the Paraduma is only for a Tvul Yom of a Mace, Sheretz is included in that, But Zav is not necessarily included in that. And the Gemara says, and that could easily be the machlokus between the two. Okay, let's recap our daf for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Today we talked about the heterim of an onen and the heter of tumah hutra b'tzibur. And the Gemara says, look, kavachomers can be flying in a lot of different directions. The Gemara says, everything is status quo, meaning for an onen, the allowance of a kohen gadol is for all karbanos. The disallowance for a kohen hedjot is for all karbanos. Tumah hutra b'tzibur, its allowance is only for karban tzibur, not for karban yachid. It was really easy to summarize. Hard Gemara to go through, easy to summarize. Okay, next item that was up for our discussion today was that of a Tvil Yom. The source of a Tvil Yom, if we were to do the Avoda would be Mechulal. The Gemara goes through a source, and then the Gemara's discussion for really the remainder of today's daf is, why do I need a source in the Torah of a Kohen? Tameh, Tvil Yom, and Mechus Kippurim, where all of them, if they do the Avodah is Mechulal, isn't there a redundancy? And the Gemara's essential answer is no. There's no redundancy. Because even though Tvil Yom is lighter than Tumah, and Mechus Kippurim is lighter than Tvil Yom, the Gemara says still there's no redundancy. And as far as Mechus Kippurim, that last argument, Mechus Kippurim being lighter than Tvil Yom, not necessarily. Because the Gemara points out that even as Mechus Kippurim, vis-a-vis he's allowed to eat Shurma, yes, he's allowed to eat Shurma. But vis-a-vis Karbanos, he's, at least according to some opinions, he is considered a Zav Gamer Lagabe Karban, and therefore there is no tailing off of his Tumah Lagabe Karban, and that's why I need a separate drasha to tell me that it's Tvil Yom. And I'm sorry, even if we know Mechus Kippurim is prohibited from doing the avoda, that doesn't necessarily speak to that of Tvil Yom, and therefore I need Psukim for all three.